I'm Becky, or Becky Dactyl, if you forget. I'm first year doing ICT engineering, creative intelligence and innovation. And I'm reading off Career Hub. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Great to see you guys. My name's Rob, if we've not met before. Well, if you've been along in one of the last couple of weeks, you'll know that as we looked at what would Jesus say to the teachers, that I had a kind of long interest in atheism, and then last week, what would Jesus say to the Pope? I've had a bit of an interest in Catholicism for many years, but my introduction to Katy Perry has been a little more recent. Last year, my 6-year-old, who was in kindergarten, and her cousin, also in kindergarten at a different school, they both danced the Katy Perry songs at their end of year assembly. So that was my introduction to Katy Perry. So I've been catching up, and I've quite enjoyed the last couple of weeks thinking about Katy Perry. Now, if you thought that the Pope was big just in terms of world fame, Katy Perry takes it to a whole new level. The Pope has a little over 10 million Twitter followers in all sorts of different languages. She tops the charts with 56 million Twitter followers, and that's 10 million more than Barack Obama. So she's right up there. Like the Pope, she's been on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. This is the latest, just out last month. And she's also been described as the Person of the Year by Billboard magazine in 2012. But unlike the Pope, she's also been described as the sexiest person on earth twice. So I don't think the Pope's going to catch up to her on that one. She's famous for being fun, colourful, brash. She's a great performer, but she's also got a pretty interesting story. Now, first question, who knows her real name? Do you know her real name?
Katie Hudson.
Let's flip the answer is Katie Hudson. Yeah, well done. So Hudson is actually her real name. Perry is her mum's maiden name. She took that on because there's a famous actress, Kate Hudson. Anyway, there's a story. Bit about Katy Perry. Her first album was released as a cassette tape when she was just 16, and it sold only about 200 copies. Now, the thing about this album is that it was all Christian songs, all Christian rock songs. So her parents are Pentecostal pastors and kind of visiting preachers, that kind of thing. Now, they've got a pretty interesting story as well. So her dad was very heavily involved in the drug scene. Her mum once went on a date with Jimi Hendrix, and she actually kind of said to her mum, "If you'd only gone out with him a little longer, I'd have a better rock heritage." But they're pretty interesting characters in themselves, and it probably explains partly why they really protected her. They really shielded her from the non-Christian world, particularly of music and all that kind of stuff. As a kid. And I think that probably explains why when she discovered it at long last, she was really enthusiastic about it, just totally embraced it. As a 17-year-old, she decided to move to LA to try and make it big in the music scene. But over the next 6 or so years, things just didn't work out. She started 2 albums, didn't complete them. She was dropped from 2 recording labels. However, in 2008, she released I Kissed a Girl, obviously a big break from her previous album, and the rest, as they say, is history. Teenage Dream was only the 2nd album ever to have 5 number one hits. To date, she has 9 number ones, including Firework, which is her favourite, and Dark Horse from her latest album, Prism. In June this year, she was declared the top-selling digital artist ever. So she's big. Now, despite having turned away from the faith of her parents, they're actually quite a tight-knit family. They enjoy spending time together. They feature quite prominently in this little movie, Katy Perry, Part of Me, which, if you're a guy, you can watch because it's PG. That's pretty amazing. And the family feature pretty prominently. Grandma actually gets the last words on the whole DVD. The other big thing about her life in recent years is her marriage, and then just 14 months later, her divorce to Russell Brand. And he's a pretty weird guy. He's putting out a movie next year to talk about, you know, his thoughts on Jesus and Che Guevara and all sorts of interesting things. So, but according to Katy Perry, he's a bit of a jerk. You can see that from her songs. And, you know, she says that he informed her of the divorce via a text message. So he's a jerk, he's a jerk. We're going to watch a clip now. It's her song Wide Awake. And what's interesting about this movie is it kind of does a little biography. It refers to lots of others of her songs and they're kind of part of her life story. So if you're very clever, look out for references to other songs in this one song. Did anyone see references to other songs?
Fireworks.
Yeah. The fireworks. Puts together a chest, that was a big one. Any other ones?
The Snuffing the Prince thing,
the Eye of the Okay. Yeah, and obviously the prince who, you know, did his kind of fingers crossed when he promises to love her, is obviously Russell Brand, who she takes vengeance upon, all that kind of stuff. Other little things like the bike, the pink bike, which is just like the pink bike from Coca-Cola. Stuff like that. There's so many levels in that song. So many levels. So very cool. Other cool things about Katy Perry include wearing, you know, amazing outfits and something quite unusual. And then she invites members of the audience, not the kind of the beautiful cool people, but just people who are also kind of dressed up looking crazy, to jump up on the stage and dance with her. That's kind of fun. In this second one, and this is actually Katy Perry right there, the person on the left, you know who that is?
Rebecca Black
from that awful, you know, wonderful song Friday. Yeah. And so, yeah, everyone was mocking Rebecca Black, but Katy Perry invited her on in this song last Friday night, TGIF, so that's kind of cool, it's a fun video. And then the last one, we have Katy Perry on Sesame Street, and even though it actually never aired, because the outfit was a little snoopy for the young parents, there she does this fun song with Elmo. It's kind of fun to watch, and it's got gazillions of hits on YouTube. So, that's a bit about Katy Perry. Currently she's on her Prismatic tour, and some of you guys will know Alex Jones. Alex Jones would love an early Christmas present, so, you know, buy her a ticket. There might be some others who are going too. Well, Katy Perry is famous for entertaining some of her audience in kind of meetings after the concert, that kind of thing. What if she gave Jesus the backstage pass? What would their conversation be like? You know, whereas 2 weeks ago, what would Jesus say to Hitchens? He was unapologetically an atheist. It's kind of easy to put him in a box. Or the Pope, you know, as they say, Catholic, right? The Pope's Catholic. So he kind of put those guys in a box. But Katy Perry, she's a little harder to pin down. You know, she starts out as a committed Christian performer, and then next second, you know, she's running around with her clothes off, etc. And yet, even still, even during this time, you know, she was offended apparently when her then husband blasphemed. Or before concerts, at least before some of her concerts, she forms a little prayer huddle and they say a quick prayer. You know, stuff like that. She says that she's in a real one-on-one evolving relationship with God, and she's not embarrassed to say the word God. In fact, in the Wide Awake song, God, you know I tried, is a line that you probably didn't catch. But so she's a funny one. She's maybe a foot in both camps. Now I know that Jesus would know where she's at. Omniscience is kind of handy, but you know us and me, we're guessing. Now, I don't want to be judgmental, but neither do I want to be bland and just naive or nice. So we're gonna have a go. One of the things you notice in the Bible, and if you've been in a small group looking at Genesis over the last few weeks, God sometimes asks questions. And he doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answer, but he asks the question because he's hoping that in asking the question, it will help the person he's speaking to think of an answer for themselves, to kind of work it out for themselves. So that's kind of the approach we're going to take. And I thought I needed a prop because I'm doing the whole Jesus says and then Peggy says, and that kind of thing. And I thought a wig, or I thought maybe little cat ears, because she's got the kitty cat thing hanging. But then I came up with something sparkly, because she's into sparkly things. So this is a microphone. I made it. But it's a purple sparkly microphone. So that will be me. That will be Katie when I'm holding this up, and Jesus when I'm not. Okay? Does that make sense? That should help. All right. Well, let's jump in. Jesus says, so, Catherine, it's been a while. Yeah, Jesus, I guess. I mean, you've always got a part of me. Well, it might satisfy your fans, but not me. But before we go there, remind me of your childhood. What was that like? Well, Jesus, you know Mum and Dad. They're pretty cool. We're still close. And I know that they were just doing it to protect me, but they never let me think for myself. Well, thinking is good, Patty. Sometimes I wish you'd think a little more. Jesus, it was so restrictive. I needed to try life, to see what was out there, that's all. And then quoting, No, I don't even know your name, it doesn't matter. You're not my experiment, you're my experimental game, just human nature. It's not what good girls do, not how they should behave. Ain't no big deal. It's innocent. Jesus, you know what it's like, trying to be your own person, trying to make your mark on the world. Well, yes, but I made my mark not by being my own person. I made my mark by being God's. And in lots of ways, that's more unique, more distinctive. Anyone can be a sinner. Like the prophet Isaiah said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Yeah, but Jesus, I had to be my own person, the one and only Katy Perry. Well, of course, but I only ever made one of you. You were always unique to me. I'd have loved you whether you were a hit or a miss, whether the crowd thought you were hot or cold, in or out, up or down. And anyway, your uniqueness, your value, your purpose, it ultimately comes from me. Well, okay, so I decided to take a chance and I never look back. I started living outside of the box, starting crossing over lines where I always used to stop, because I'm not going to be anybody, then I'm not. To thine own self be true, hey? Well, of course, it all requires that you know who you are. And for that, you need to ask your Maker. Yeah, but Jesus, you always taught me to believe in my own self. Yeah, but not in the way you think. The thing is, Catherine, you're far greater and far worse than you can imagine. My lyrical friend Pascal once wrote, what a shimmerer then is man. What a novelty. What a monster. What a chaos. What a contradiction. What a prodigy. Judge of all things. Feeble worm of the earth. Depository of the truth. Sink of uncertainty and error. The glory and the shame of the universe. Know then what a paradox you ask yourself. Learn from your master your true condition of which you are ignorant. Listen to God. See, your glory is that you were made in my image, in the image of a God who spoke, even sung the universe into being. Even the best of stage shows is but a poor copy of that. So that's your glory. You're made in my image. But your shame is that you, along with everyone else, have turned away from me. You've sought to run life on your own terms, without me. At least there's no pretense of that now. Yeah, but Jesus, I sang for you. Well, you sang about me. But did you sing for me? I wonder if you really sang for yourself. See, it's tricky, isn't it? Because on the outside, it looks much the same, but in fact, it's not tricky, it's dangerous. See, listen to your lyrics, Catherine. You've taken my words, but changed their meaning. This is from Whom Am I Living For? I'm ready for the road that's... Oh, sorry, this is Jesus quoting Katie. I'm ready for the road that's travelled, suiting up for my crowning battle. This test is my own cross to bear, but I will get there. So I pray for favour like Esther. I need your strength to handle the pressure. I know that there will be sacrifice, but that's the price. the test is my own cross to bear, but I will get wet. What are you paying for? The price for what? Fame?
Well,
I don't think so. I don't think you're as crass as that, but what is it? Appreciation? Recognition? Self-expression? Whatever it is, it's obviously not my kingdom and my righteousness. Now, taking out your cross is not intended just to be, you know, a challenge or a burden. It's intended to be a death sentence. Death to self, that is. And only then can you discover new life in me. Well, Jesus, I may be kind of fuzzy on the details of the Bible, but I still pray. You know, it's healthy to believe in a power greater than yourself. It helps me to stay accountable. That's the problem. So you pray to stay accountable to your own plans, your own goals, as if I'm the means to your end. But you don't pray to relate to me. But Catherine, I'm the prize. I'm the goal. There's no pearl more priceless than me. But you're saying that we've all got to be little, you know, Jesus clones. That sounds like a whole lot of dull conformity. Not at all. Christianity is full of diversity. I embrace every colour, every note, every people, every language, every food. In fact, it sounds a whole lot like one of your concerts. But take something controversial like sexuality. Heterosexuality, male and female, that's diversity in practice, okay? And the restriction of sex to marriage is intended to promote and protect real expression, real intimacy. But I know I don't need to talk to you about that. You understand the bond of marriage and how painful it can be when it's broken. Well, that's right, I do. And I've got the scars to show for it too, Jesus. Yeah, your teenage dream was kind of a nightmare. Well, that's right. I had such high hopes, and for a time I was on cloud nine. I found that often believing in something great can really give you an advantage. It empowers you, but sometimes the fairy tale ends badly. I know that's not going to happen again. I've learned from my lessons. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Katie, how often fairy tales have a dark edge to them. They can be scary things. But I'm really glad that you made it through. Like you say, by the grace of God, there was no other way. I picked myself back up. I knew I had to stay. I wasn't going to let love take me out that way. And I do know you try. But don't replace the idol of romantic love with the idol of self-love. Both are bad masters. Both will destroy you. The prodigal son wasn't left stranded in the barren country just so he could swap one bowl of swill for another. And the same goes for you, my distant daughter. You sang, "I'm wide awake, not losing any sleep. I picked up every piece and landed on my feet. I'm wide awake, need nothing to complete myself." No, but 10, this does feel like a chance. Only don't say that you need nothing to complete yourself. That sounds like a very destructive and lonely kind of life. I know you're angry, and you should be. Let off some steam, roar away. But remember, vengeance. But Jesus, I'm not just holding out hope for me. There are so many others. What about them? For those who feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in, I want to tell them that there's a chance. Well, of course, and fireworks are really pretty, but they only burn for the briefest of moments. I want you and everyone who hears me to become like stars. Something that's going to shine on and on into eternity. And you know, I think you're onto something. Something's not right when young people feel like trash, like they have no purpose, no worth. There's a problem, and I've got the solution. You know, I've not come to offer advice like a self-help guru or a motivational speaker, you know, a personal trainer or a shrink. No, I've come as a surgeon to fix up a dying world. As a saviour to save the world from self-destruction. I don't offer a better life so much as a new one. And here's my drill diagnosis of what's going on. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. See, turning away from me is bad enough, but turning to empty and destructive idols only makes things worse. Gaining the world at the cost of your soul, it's just not worth it. And you can work really hard to succeed at all kinds of things, and yet our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things that don't really matter. So wake up, sir. Be really wide awake and listen to me roar. Well, Jesus, even if I wanted to come back to you, I'm not sure if I know how to anymore. So sick of this town pulling me down. My mother says I should come back home, but can't find the way because the way is gone. So if I pray, am I just sending words into outer space? Okay, it may be hard, maybe difficult, but it's not complicated. It's straightforward. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Like the Samaritan woman whom I met by the will, the one up in the picture. You'll only be disappointed by life until you find it in me. And like the woman caught in adultery in John 8, I offer you forgiveness and a fresh start. Go and sin no more. And I can offer this because I have done the work for you. I've died and I've risen again in heaven. Well, Jesus, when I was 18, I got your name tattooed on my left wrist. And every time I'm playing guitar, I see it looking back up at me. At the time I thought, well, that's where I come from, and probably where I'm going back to. Okay, I've gone one better. I've engraved you on the palms of my hands, hands that flung stars into space only to be hung on a Roman cross. And these hands now invite you to come back home. So Jesus, it's like I pierced you. I caused you to die. I caused you to suffer. And you died for me, and now it's come full circle. And you're piercing me. This self will bleed. You're killing all of my securities. Lord, help me see the reality that all I'll ever need is you. Catherine, do you know the meaning of your name? Do you know what it means? No, Lord, I don't know. What does it mean? Catherine means pure, unsullied. Let me make you the perfect, complete, the one and only, the pure Katy Perry. And here's a song. I wrote it for you a long time ago. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk without cost. Why labour for what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Let the wicked forsake their ways. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, for he will freely pardon. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Now that's something. Well, that's the end of the imaginary dialogue between Jesus and Katy Perry. I hope you enjoyed it. It's kind of been fun for me to think through. And if you're doing any weird trivia things for the next year, Katy Perry, the Pope, Christopher Hitchens, get me on the table, I'll help you out. But as much as it's been interesting to imagine what Jesus might say, what we need to do is to think hard about what he says to us. That's what we really need to take to heart. Because whether I'm an atheist or just sort of questioning, or I'm a Catholic or just kind of religious, I've kind of been through a Christian thing, or I'm really just following whatever's popular, Jesus has a message for us today. And it's a great message, the greatest of all messages. But he doesn't spend all his time kind of begging and pleading that we might come back to him. In fact, he issues a command. He is God, after all. And you can sum it up really simply. I'm just reading from the first chapter of Mark, where Jesus says this. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So have you responded to Jesus? Have you repented? That is, turned your back on sin, and in so doing, turned to face and trust in Jesus. It's good news. It's good news. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you too can be part of God's wonderful, eternal kingdom. You just need to embrace and acknowledge the King, that is Jesus. I'd really encourage you to do that if you've not done it already. And why not grab a copy of Mark and sit down and read it with a friend. See for yourself not just what Jesus might say, but what Jesus actually has said and is saying to you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that you speak to us, that you reveal yourself to us, that we might know you. Thank you that Jesus has come into our world and that he has a message for each of us. Lord, we pray that we might turn our backs on sin and turn to trust in Jesus, and that we might know this good news for ourselves. And we pray in his name. Amen. And somebody else is going to continue in prayer.
Yep.
Great, thanks.
Pray for us. And in particular, we're going to pray for Sarah Cohn, who was a member of Credo, and she passed away last week. So if you guys would like to pray with me, feel free to. Heavenly Father, I pray for Sarah Cohn and her family, Lord. I pray that they will just take comfort in you, Lord, and I pray that you'll just raise them up, Lord. I pray that you'll just place your hand into their heart, Lord, and I pray that you just remove any sadness or tears, Lord. I thank you that you're an awesome God, Lord, and that you wipe away any tear, Lord, and that your love is complete, Lord. I thank you that she's up there with you right now. I thank you for the gift of Credo as well, Lord. I thank you for all of the blessings we've been able to get through it, Lord, and I pray that it will continue to be fruitful, Lord. I pray for the AGM next week. I pray that, it's not next week, but whenever it is, Lord, I just pray for the AGM. I pray that good discussion will happen there, and Lord, I pray that they just put the right executives or whoever needs to go where in the right places there. I pray for Ukraine as well. I pray that you will intervene, Lord. You are God who's in complete control over everything. I pray that there might be a ceasefire, Lord, but I pray that you'll be glorified in this situation. And I also just pray for Katie Berry. I pray that she will see you, Lord. I pray that you'll convict her, Lord, and I pray that she'll encounter you again. Amen.